Whenever in the scriptures I see Abraham and Sarah, I'm always drawn to it. Their story is just such a defining story of faith. If you remember the story of Abraham and Sarah called by God, they're called by God and they're considered the ancestors of faith because they were called to leave their land for a land yet to be revealed to them. They were called to let go of what they know for what they don't yet know. They're called to let go of what they have for what they do not yet have. They're being called, their faith is one of letting go. And it's just a powerful image to me of faith. And in our reading this morning from Genesis, we hear about the covenant that God made with Abraham and Sarah. And in order to understand that, I want to put that in some context. That was from chapter 17. And I want you to go back with me to the early chapters of Genesis to put this reading in some context. Remember the story of creation? Not the first chapter, the one about 7 days, but the second chapter of Genesis, where it said that God shapes this human creature from the earth. You've heard me share this image before. Shapes the human creature out of the earth and breathes into this human the breath of life. What more intimate example can you have of God's presence to us? You know, sometimes the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, some people will say, well, the Old Testament is the God of anger and vengeance, and the New Testament is the God of love and peace. And I just never really totally understand that, because I don't really agree with that. I think what we find in these wonderful stories is this intimacy that the creating God wants to share. So breathe the breath of life. Then it said that these first humans are placed in the garden. Remember the garden, meant to be this symbol of just the beauty and wonder of creation. And the first creatures, the first humans are told to dwell there, but to not, don't eat from that tree over there. Don't touch that tree. And there's so many interpretations of that, as I've shared. None of this is new. I've shared this before. But I really think St. Irenaeus gets it. St. Irenaeus says that first sin was really about God saying to them, you're not ready for that tree of knowledge yet. You're not ready yet. And yet they wanted it now, that impatience. St. Irenaeus says that the first sin, the first human sin, which, again, is not something that happened, perhaps something that's happening. This story is our story. The first sin was impatience. Wanting it now. Do you share that? Impatience? You know, wanting it now. We're not always patient. And the story is that they take from that tree and they hide. So taken are they, so not ready. They're not ready for that knowledge. So it says, wonderful mythic language, that they are aware of their nakedness. They're aware of their vulnerability and they run and hide out of shame and guilt. The Jewish tradition, the rabbis used to have a custom of adding to the stories of Scripture in order to embellish them and fully explain them. And there's the story of a Jewish rabbi who, about this story of Adam and Eve being in the garden, describes the story of how, you know, when this is not in the Scriptures, but this is kind of Hasidic kind of teaching, uses the image of, that the creating God used to go to the garden each day to be with Adam and Eve, spend time with them. He suggests it was around dusk. Every day would go and meet with them and spend time with them. He'd breathe this life breath and wanted to spend time with them. But he says that the day that they took from that tree, God came into the garden at dusk to meet with them, and they weren't there. And the rabbi says that God is looking around, disappointed, and leaves. Comes back the next day, looks around. They're not there. He leaves. Comes back the next day, and this is where the scripture picks up. Comes back the next day, shows up, they're not there. And what does God say? Again, the first words that God speaks to these newly formed creatures, Adam and Eve, what's the first thing he says? Where are you? Where are you? Talk about a longing God who longs for us. Where are you? And it says Adam and Eve kind of come forward, ashamed of their nakedness. And yes, the story says that they are cast out of the garden, but before that happens, there's a little piece of scripture there where it says that God provided them loincloths. God provided them something in the midst of where they were at in their shame and their guilt. He provides them. God always meets us where we are. He reaches out to them. Some say that's perhaps the beginning of redemption. That may be the beginning of the Christ. Not the beginning of the Christ, but one of the expressions of the Christ being early there to provide for these people. God the Creator longed for Adam and Eve to be in God's presence. Looking, longing, where are you? Breathing the breath of life, that sense of longingness and being in relationship, being engaged, was a part of this relationship. So we jump ahead in the story of Abraham and Sarah to our reading today, and God is reaching out to Abraham and Sarah. Remembering that part of Adam and Eve's story in our minds, but to enter into today's reading, and what is God saying? This is the great covenant that God is making with Abraham and Sarah. And this is, while it's not in our reading today, this is the rite of circumcision. This is where this tradition of circumcision comes from as a sign of the covenant. But what is the covenant? It's interesting. God says to Abraham and Sarah in our reading today, well, the way it's said in our reading today is, walk before me. I don't like that translation. There's another translation of that, which is, walk in my presence. Walk before me can be misunderstood to mean, you know, you walk ahead of me. That's not really what it's meant in the Hebrew, but walk in my presence. That's what God's demanding of Abraham and Sarah. Walk in my presence. Don't, like Adam and Eve, hide. Walk away, but let us walk towards each other. Let us be in relationship with each other. Let us engage with one another. Walk in my presence. Walk in my presence, and I will make of you a great nation, a multitude of people. There'll be many nations that will be formed, and the rest of the story kind of flows from that. God desires us to walk in God's presence. God is always present to us. But our need is to be aware of that presence. And so during the season of Lent, I encourage you to reflect on that, to be present, to be aware of being present to God in how we live our lives. And the gospel today that we hear is a continuation of that story. Now, to walk in God's presence is a challenging thing. To walk in God's presence is to walk. Remember, God doesn't say, sit in my presence. Stand in my presence. Kneel in my presence. There's time for standing, kneeling, and sitting. We do that every Sunday. But the call of God is walk in my presence. Walk in my presence. Move. Walk into the world. Engage with creation. Engage with one another. Engage with the world beyond us. Walking is a risky thing. You ever watch a new child learning to walk? You know, you're there watching, all right, and they get up and they stumble and they hold on and they fall. And you all know, you know, once a child begins to walk, a whole new experience begins. They begin to explore and discover new things. And sometimes we say to them, stop it. Sit there. Just don't move. You ever have that kind of, sit there, don't move? Because walking changes things. And walking is exploring and discovering. And what Jesus is saying to his followers today is they're already following him. They're already walking with him. And he warns them that if you walk with me, take up your cross. If you walk with me into this world, you will suffer, as do I. Because when we walk into the world, we're called to try to bring this presence of God into our world. And friends, that is so needed today. It's needed in our world today, this presence of God in the way we discern things. I invite you to find ways that you can live out this walk of walking in God's presence and bringing that presence into our world. Just a few, I have some notes here just to remind myself, just a few examples of that as a parish during the season of Lent. You know, some of us are involved in collaborating with anywhere from 40 or so parishes, up to 60 have been initially involved in Wake County alone, just Wake County, collaborating on ways that we can organize ourselves together to work towards walking and bringing God's presence into our community. How we can make a difference in our community by building relationships and walking together. All of us, descendants of Abraham and Sarah, in this work that we're doing with all these congregations, there are Jewish congregations, Muslim congregations, and Christian congregations. All of us, descendants of Abraham and Sarah, all of us being called to walk together, all of us being called to walk into this world to make a difference. And there's some information in the bulletin today about some gatherings that will be happening over the next month or so. Invite you to come to be a part of as we discern together, not just St. Paul's, but us as well as 30 or 40 other congregations, how we can work together in Wake County. We haven't decided what to do yet. We're still working on our relationships. We'll know what we need to do once those relationships are built and we can find common ground to work towards. And believe me, the gathering of these congregations is a mix of congregations. It's a mix of congregations. There are even among us some of the Anglican churches that we've had some difficult times with the Episcopal Church, some of the Anglican churches, but we're together on this. We're together on this, and we can build together. And there's so many other examples of that going on. The ASP, our youth are going on the ASP mission trip in the summertime. In a week or two, it's in the bulletin, there's a spaghetti dinner. Be present to the spaghetti. Come on to the spaghetti dinner and say yes to our youth who are walking out into the world and to make a difference. Their Romano Day is coming up on March 18th. In the bulletin, it's another day. It's March 18th. As we walk into the lives of folks who live not far from us to provide clothing and blankets and support, our refugee ministry that continues to grow. If there's a ministry in our parish that is discerning what it's meant to be called to, it's learning through relationships. A new family from Afghanistan will be joining us. And we're learning through that, through the relationships that have been built. It's just an example of what this walking is about. I just give those just a few examples, but there are many ways that we, certainly within our congregation of St. Paul's, or in your own lives, your own world, can find ways to walk in God's presence. Walk in God's presence and go forth and make a difference in this world that we live in. Make a difference and go forth and engage, relate, and continue to challenge each other as well in this walk that we live. We walk together. We walk together. Different gifts, different talents. But together, we go forth to make a difference. Walk in my presence. That's the covenant God made with Abraham and Sarah, and we are those descendants. And God still says to us, walk. Walk in my presence.